Blue Wire.
Yo, this is Flip Gordon.
CVV Chris Van Fleet.
This is Liam O'Rourke, author of Crazy Like a Fox.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Top Rope Nation. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah.
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it. It's the best thing going today.
Welcome back, guys. It's episode 133 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan, Justin, and Kyle here. We're all quarantined in our houses still, but we're ready to talk some pro wrestling, hopefully entertain all of you, as I'm sure you're all stranded at your homes too, getting bored, not much to do, no sports on TV. We do have new wrestling on TV, though, which we can talk about tonight, but it's been quite a week here for me in Iowa. Kyle, how's it going out in Ohio?
Not to make light of a global pandemic, but as I see this collective boredom sort of taking shape on social media, like a lot of people, friends of mine just kind of said, oh, God, what is there to do? I've kind of noticed that there's just two kinds of people in this world, people that have the award-winning WWE Network and people that don't, because I don't want to speak for you guys. I haven't been bored 1 minute.
I mean, there's always that. You can always go to the WWE Network and have something to watch. Actually, one of my good friends, I don't know if he even listens to the podcast or not. I think he checks it out once in a while. But my friend Jeremy, he texted me the other day. He's never subscribed to the WWE Network. But he was like, you know, no basketball on, no baseball on. I think it's time I take out the credit card and join the award-winning WWE Network. So he subscribed for the very first time just because of the pandemic going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff on YouTube too. Even, you know, you can go there too. I just, man, is there any form of entertainment just with it just goes any deeper than the sport of pro wrestling? I don't think there is.
And that's why you do the deep dive at the end of every broadcast.
Yeah, and we're going real deep. I mean, we're going all over the place too. We're just going to start throwing out lots of matches for you during this trying time. And I hope everyone's doing well, by the way.
Yeah, stay tuned. Because we got how many matches? We got four in the deep dive segment, which will close the show this week. Give you something to watch. Justin, you're just across town from me, but I haven't seen you in quite some time, and it's looking like it's going to be even longer until I see you in person. But good to talk as always. How's things going for you across town? Oh, I hear the beer opening.
They're getting better every day. Yeah, I'm drinking a local single speed beer by the name of Victory Dance, which actually happens to be the name of a very fine My Morning Jacket song. I recommend everyone checking that out.
I didn't know you were a My Morning Jacket guy.
I've seen them twice in concert. Three times.
You know what's funny? I could definitely say twice, and I can't remember if it's three or not. Got absolutely bombed in Detroit and saw him one time.
I knew that's where this
bombed.
Was
going. I mean, this was like right after Z would have been released. And I remember taking this cab ride home and the cabbie got like lost. And I was like ass over tea kettle in the back seat with my feet pointing up at the roof, just screaming, bad move every time the guy went the wrong way. What a beauty I am, huh? Well, my buddy's like, shut up, dude, shut up. And I'm just like, bad move.
Yeah. This is awesome. Yep.
Love My Morning Jacket, though.
Victory Dance was my the alarm on my phone for a long time until I had to change it because I started hating that song.
Hopefully, this is something you guys can look forward to. Like I said at the top of the broadcast, we're trying to bring you content during a very bad time in the world with not a lot going on. And I think we're going to be bringing you a lot more classic content as well. Our main topic of the week this week is kind of a classic Mount Rushmore style question, just like we did last week with the WrestleMania IC title matches. So we got that on deck for you here following our In the News segment. A ton to get to in the news, by the way. But before we get to that, let's get some of the housekeeping items out of the way. Of course, we are brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. If you like podcasts, entertainment, and sports, Blue Wire has the podcast for you. Don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts and check out the whole lineup of all of Blue Wire's shows over at bluewirepods.com. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, which as I look at their statistics is approximately 70% of you, please hit subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a written review. It goes a long way towards helping others find the show. In fact, we had 2 new reviews come in this week. I usually read them on the air, whether they're long and in-depth or very short. These ones are kind of short, but I want to give you a shout-out for leaving us a review. So the first one comes in from Matt. He says, subscribe! Best wrestling pod out there. Thank you, Matt, for the shout-out.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Matt. I can agree more.
And the other one, I don't know how to say this, comes from Rahiblius. It says, check out Top Rope Nation. Check out Ryan and the fellas. If you're into current pro wrestling, they cover them all. 5 stars. So, yes, leave us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts. We will read it on the air. Greatly appreciate that. And also, we're available on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google, wherever podcasts are found. Check out the revamped TopRopeNation.com as well for the whole back catalog. You can find links at the top right of the webpage to our merch. We have a pro wrestling tees merchandise store as well as a Spreadshirt store as well. So you can check all that out there. And one last way you can go about helping out the show is on our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/toprope nation. Get exclusive content. You get a free gift in the mail when you subscribe. And this week we actually debuted some new content. So sometimes Kyle, Justin, and myself, we talk about what we were saying off air just before we hit record. So I started hitting record a little bit earlier this week, and I threw up the audio on Patreon as our pre-show. So we're going to do that every week. So if you want to hear what we are jabbering about every week before we go on the air, sometimes it's a little inappropriate, always funny, always entertaining, just a few minutes, but it's the Top Rope Nation pre-show each and every week. That will now be going up on Patreon as well. And in the next 1 week, I got to talk to you guys about maybe recording this over the weekend. The newest edition of Top Rope Nation Classics will come out. I'd like to put it out Monday. I'd like to put this out on Monday. So if we can get this recorded in the next couple of days, we are going to be doing a watch-along with some classic Memphis wrestling. That is at the suggestion of our good friend Derek Chappelle, who's having a ball of a week down in Memphis, Tennessee, because his Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Tom Brady coming to town. So Derek's actually going to be jumping on the podcast with us to do that watch along. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Derek's been on the show several times in the past. So I think that's all the housekeeping items. We got a packed agenda here for In the News. So let's get right to it.
All the latest wrestling news. Get behind the scenes insider info. 1-909-9900. Calls cost the book 49 per minute. Kids, get your parents' permission, but call right now.
So our first In the News item is going to be centered around WrestleMania 36, just like it was earlier this week when we put out the bonus podcast. And guys, so much has changed just in, 3 days since we recorded the last podcast? It was Monday night we got word that the event in Tampa was canceled, that they were moving it to the Performance Center, and a lot more has changed now. We've got a multiple-day WrestleMania coming at us. We got a WrestleMania potentially taped in multiple locations. We got a WrestleMania that could maybe even be taped in advance in the next 1 week, from what the new reports are out, just hot off the press tonight, Thursday night. So a lot to get to, obviously, on any of those topics, pretty much fair game. Your thoughts, Justin Joint, since we recorded on Monday night, what are you thinking about WrestleMania coming up here in a couple of weeks?
You know, for me, it just all depends on what they do with the Performance Center. And you know, frankly, I'm still not sold it's going to happen. I mean, every day we're seeing athletes and celebrities pop up with COVID-19. And, you know, it's how many wrestlers is it going to take for them just cancel the show? And frankly, I think that's one of the, yeah. And I frankly, that's why I think they did 2 nights is so that they can limit the personnel. I don't think that if they add any matches, I think it's going to be like 1. I think they just want to limit the amount of people that need to be there. But yeah, for excitement level, boy, I hope they take a page out of AEW this week and really, you know, at least get a handful of people out there in the crowd that can holler at the performers and change the camera angle, give us something to look at rather than empty seats.
Yeah.
You know, maybe darken everything up besides from the ring. I don't know. I just don't know. It's kind of embarrassing that WWE didn't do this before AEW, since they had such a huge head start. And if they do it now, because frankly, what AEW did was, I think, as good as you can do in considering the circumstances. And frankly, WWE needs to follow suit, but they will come off as just giant copycats.
Yeah, I definitely want to hit on that, because Dynamite, I thought, was incredible this week. To be honest, it might have been their best TV show of 2020 with no audience. So I thought they did a great job. Kyle, on WrestleMania, I also forgot to mention Rob Gronkowski, now the host of WrestleMania.
Yes.
So much to get to. Again, what are your thoughts?
Okay, sorry, I kind of buzzed out there, so I didn't hear what you asked Justin. I got most of his answer. But I agree with what Justin said, that there should not be more matches, many more matches added to this card. We currently have 8. I know Edge and Orton isn't official, but come on, they're doing it, folks. Stop it. And not just from like a safety perspective, but also just, I just don't think there should be that many more matches added. To me, believe it or not, I did not realize until reading some reports today, or I'd just forgotten, it hadn't dawned on me, there's only 2 weeks left till Mania.
Yeah.
Or 2-4 weeks of TV. They've got to get these 8 matches over more, rather than just, you know, start just bringing more people on the card. Now, I know they will. They talked about the Battle Royals aren't going to happen. That's smart. Because I was thinking, well, what are they going to add? Well, you got the 2 secondary titles, the 2 tag team titles, the SmackDown Women, the Women's Tag Team, and 2 Battle Royals. We've cut the 2 Battle Royals out. That's still 6 mid-card titles matches we could add. I just think it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I would argue that even if the situation was normal. You know, we see the problem. We bitch about the WWE title structure all the time. And here we are. You've got 8, the 8 most important matches on the show. And, you know, you still got the possibility of 6 title matches to come. That lets you know kind of the importance of titles in this promotion. So that's another reason. I just don't think those matches are going to add much value to this card. I mean, and, you know, I get that these performers want to be on WrestleMania, biggest weekend of the year. It's a little different this year, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this on the Monday show that we did this week, episode 132, mm-hmm. that it would be better, probably, given the circumstances, to have a tighter show with just maybe the 7 matches we were talking about at the time. Now we know probably 8. It's split across 2 nights. So we didn't know any of that on our last show, but splitting it makes me think it is going to be lengthy from a card standpoint, but maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, 2 nights. I mean, I you figure they'll do at least 6 matches per night, I bet.
Yeah.
If I was a betting man, which I actually kind of am. And to be fair, we should have known the 8. I mean, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins was always something they were building to. So obviously they were going to do that. Did you guys see the reports of how the matches might be broken up? I don't know if these are accurate, but there has been some reporting as to how the matches may be broken up per night.
I saw the main events with Brock and McIntyre going on Saturday and Goldberg and Reigns on Sunday.
Yes, and I believe it was Becky and Shayna was on the Roman night, as well as KO and Seth. No, it wasn't KO and Seth, because I remember remarking that Seth and Becky were on different days.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me look that up here.
Yeah, I think we talk about this on the show a lot over the years, you know, going back to 2016 when we started this podcast, and there is just this problem that WrestleMania's got so long. I went back and researched it and wrote down the numbers. Like, last year we had 16 matches. 34, we had 14 matches. WrestleMania 33, 13. 32, we had 12 matches. You have to go back to 31 and 30 for the last time it was a sub-10 match show. And you go back to 31, a 9-match show, I remember at the time, 31, people were talking one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. And look, you had a tighter show, 9 matches. So it's like you said, Kyle, it's a different animal this year being at the Performance Center or whatever soundstage you're going to tape some of these matches at. But yeah, it still seems like we are going to have the longer altogether when you put the two nights together. It's still a pretty long show. So did you find that?
No, I can't, actually. You know why? Because I checked the wrong source. I apologize. But you know what's funny? I will say this.
Okay, I got Monday. It. I just pulled it up. I got
okay.
it. So the April 4th, so Saturday, Lesnar, McIntyre, Ripley, Flair, Taker, Styles, Rollins, Owens. And then on the 5th, you would have Goldberg, Reigns, Becky, Shayna, Cena, Wyatt. Of the matches announced so far. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that kind of makes a little sense because then you would presume to balance it out, Edge and Orton would be placed on night 2. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but Edge and Roman were having a little tit for tat on who should be going on last.
Yes.
On one of the nights. So maybe they know that. Maybe this is pretty accurate. It kind of makes sense because you obviously want to split the Universal and the WWE Championship matches up. You obviously want to split the two women's titles matches up. So it does kind of, I guess, make sense in that regard.
Yeah. And so we mentioned the taping schedule. So Post Wrestling had the report out tonight. I mean, this was just right before we went on the air that, of course, they're having SmackDown live tomorrow night as we record this. There's 3 SmackDowns left before Mania and 2 Raws. And with the whole crew heading down for SmackDown and then Raw on Monday, it looks like they're going to be trying to tape every edition of SmackDown and Raw over the next few days through WrestleMania so that they will have all that in the can so that in case there's any issues with getting the talent together again, whether there's a outbreak within the WWE staff or maybe WWE is even, you know, banned from bringing the performers down there and having that many people in the same place at the same time, that could happen too. Then they would be covered with all their TV taken care of before WrestleMania. And then there's been rumblings, too, that WrestleMania could possibly be taped within the next week to get that out of the way. So such an uncertain time in wrestling. We have never experienced anything like this, not just in wrestling, but in the world in general, in our lifetimes, and really anyone's lifetime that's living and breathing right now in 2020.
Yeah, so the only pay-per-view, like, of the... like major pay-per-view that did not air live in the United States is SummerSlam 92, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah.
And they had the one where the power went out in 96. What was that? The Bulldog Michaels match or something?
In Your House Beware of Dog. Yeah. Well, that didn't, but then they just aired there was an In Your House Beware of Dog 2. I mean, it still aired live. It just was like, you know, you kind of got hosed if you ordered that first one.
Yeah.
If Mania is taped, I can you imagine being a production guy getting talked to about spoilers?
Yeah, I mean,
how's that conversation going to go?
With no audience whatsoever, the idea is that they can definitely keep it under wraps, but we know the staff talks, so yes.
Yeah, but is that going to be? That's going to be a real stern talking to about that. And as far as Raw and SmackDown being put in the can, I think that's a smart idea. Because if you look at how these shows are being produced, heavy on promos, heavy on video packages, you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's contrast those Raw and SmackDowns with what we saw from AEW.
I do want to say one thing. Just one quick thing. You said on Monday that no longer will you be able to claim that you were at the last non-stadium Mania. You were at WrestleMania 22 live in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon. Well, who would have ever thought this? WrestleMania 2 will now no longer be able to claim it was the only multi-location WrestleMania.
Oh, how this show has changed in the last 7 days. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So... we talked about this on Monday, but Raw and SmackDown, I just have not been able to get into these shows. So going into AEW, I didn't know what to expect. Raw and SmackDown have just been super lame. NXT this week, they didn't even have anything. It was just a highlight show.
And I'll say this. we are all going to laud AEW, and rightfully so. I actually thought NXT was okay, even though I'm still not really psyched for Gargano Ciampa whenever that happens.
Yeah, I mean, they're so good at putting those packages together that, you know, it did what they wanted. We didn't get any live wrestling. I imagine that Raw and SmackDown, we talked about this Monday too, is going to turn more that style with them having such a, you know, such a great production team that they'll keep putting stuff like this together, I think, for Monday and Friday.
Let's not toot our own horn, but, you know, as Arn Anderson like said, toot toot. What did we say on this program last week? I love being right on this show. We said, why don't you turn to this great, one of your great strong arm, one of the great strengths you have in your company, the production.
Yeah.
We talked about this last 20 years, this company has excelled in production. And, you know, I think you saw NXT kind of go in that direction, what they can do, get over these matches. And that's what I think they need to do with these 7 or 8 matches they got planned.
Yeah.
8 matches.
Yeah.
I watched AEW last night, and then I had to get on the computer. I don't remember what I was doing, but it's like, well, I'm just going to throw NXT on in the background. And I was sucked in almost immediately. I mean, that's kind of like what I've said before about all, you know, all their 24 shows and whatnot on the network is, you know, that's kind of my catnip, and all praise to the people who put together those video packages, you know, even though some of it was, rewritten history, but it was
yes.
Really good.
Yeah, always the theme.
You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the live audience. You know, get out of your comfort zone, production people in WWE, and you know, get stuff over. You know, you don't have to do the shows the same way that they've been done every week for the last 20 years.
Actually, you having said that, I just want to make one more thing on WrestleMania, and especially if they pre-tape it. Now might be the time for them to experiment with some of their production values and maybe try some different stuff with the camera. And I don't, you know, obviously they're really stuck in their ways. And they haven't really shown us that they can get really creative out of the box, but
there's no desire.
Now would be the time. Yeah. Now would be the time to try something.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And you look at AEW, and I want to talk about the WrestleMania setup too, kind of within this conversation, but AEW just did a few things a little bit different and made a world of difference. Like, I almost didn't even notice there was no crowd throughout the show, which is saying something because AEW has the best crowd response of the two companies, right? Like, if you look at WWE and you look at AEW, the AEW crowds are more engaged. They're louder. I think we can all agree they're not as big as the WWE crowds a lot of times. Sometimes they are. But they have, I think, the more genuine reactions. So you would think that that is a big hurdle to overcome. But they did a couple things different. The first one, the biggest difference that I liked was pointing the hard cam at the stage so that we weren't, like Justin said, staring at a bunch of empty chairs. We talked about this on the last show. I don't understand why WWE thinks having hundreds of empty chairs surrounding the ring is a good visual. It's distracting. It looks terrible. There's no reason to do it. Get them out of there. I think for Mania, use some LED boards, dress the arena up, do whatever you have to do to make it look special. But with AEW, they had the stage straight on from the ring. It was lit a little bit differently so that the area surrounding the ring wasn't so bright. Like in the Performance Center, it's pretty bright. You can see everything around there. In AEW, it was like the ring was under a spotlight, and then it was pretty darkened throughout the rest of the theater they were in. And then I also noticed that the sound was different. So like on WWE, when they've had the matches in the Performance Center, it sound kind of echoey, like you can almost hear the performers in the ring. It's very quiet and dull sounding. AEW, like, I don't know how they did it, if they, you know, lowered the levels on the mic under the ring or whatever, and they had their announcers mic'd up a little higher in the mix, but it seemed like the announcer just kind of covered most of the sound coming from the ring. And that made a huge difference too. So I don't know what you guys noticed and what you liked about the production. Justin, you already kind of mentioned your thoughts on that. Kyle, did you notice the same things? What do you think worked about Dynamite?
It's funny. I actually didn't notice what you were saying about maybe the two promotions having the ring mic differently or whatever, the show mic differently. It made me think, oh boy, for Mania, those boys and girls better be careful about calling out spots.
That was my first thought, the first match, that women's tag on SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah, because, oof, man, that could be a real doozy if we're just hearing people yawn out spots. So you kind of took the wind out of my sails a little bit, Ryan, believe it or not, a few moments ago. Actually, it was before we got into this section even. I kind of have just a bit of a broad declarative statement to make about the Dynamite show last Wednesday. This just wasn't just a good show considering the circumstances. This was just a tremendous wrestling show, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, considering what they were up against, I mean, I was just kind of in awe of what they were able to pull off. It was just so superior to what we had seen from Raw and SmackDown over the previous 7 days. And, you know, okay, I guess maybe some of that credit can go to, well, AEW's got one show. But still, like you pointed to, they tried some things outside the box. You know, Justin mentioned with, you know, having some of the guys out ringside, you know, MJF, Chuck betting on the matches. I thought Sammy Guevara, you know, singing Judas may have been the highlight of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
It was just, that, again, think outside the box. You know, even Cody's Triple H-esque promo that he gave to start the show, at least he kind of like tied it into what was going on with the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the lights being all the way down and then lighting up with the Rusty Lee coming out, I thought that was well done. You had two big debuts. I will say, man, I would have loved to see that Matt Hardy debut in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. You know, that would have been enhanced by, you talk about the AEW live crowds, Matt Hardy debut, that would have been enhanced by a live crowd for sure. And the other interesting thing was they kept saying our next show, not necessarily next week. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something else to keep aware. Maybe they're obviously they don't have their biggest show of the year coming up in a little over 2 weeks or whatever. So, you know, they don't necessarily feel the pressure to forge ahead, but I think they're kind of, you know, I think they're being a little bit more practical, perhaps using that terminology.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true that they had a little bit of a heads up to look at WWE and see what works, what didn't work when they went into how they were going to film this and do the sound and everything. But at the same time, WWE, I could give them a pass on SmackDown. But going into Raw, like, they had a heads up, too. They produced a show a couple days earlier, and they didn't change anything. So,
nor did they even try. It just seemed like, you know, you mentioned with how could they think all those empty chairs is a good look?
I don't get that. With as good as their production team is, you know, like how does someone not step up and say, this is a bad visual?
It seemed that they just were hell-bent on doing their same TV show in front of a bunch of empty chairs in a smaller building.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about this on Monday when like Edge came out for his promo, which was a good promo. He still started it by, you know, doing the big dramatic point at the Titantron as if he was commanding the audience that wasn't there to look at the Titantron. And that's like kind of silly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, they're very set in their ways. You know, everyone's trained very well with where the cameras are at and what to do. And it's hard for them to change, I think. But they got to change something. We'll see if they do anything different on SmackDown. If they don't, I think that's a huge mistake. Because these TVs they've presented so far have been very subpar. And several weeks, maybe even months of that is going to get pretty bad. So
again, I think, you know, I said Edge's promo was good. I thought Kevin Owens cut a good promo too.
Yeah.
Especially, and he was a guy who used the situation and weaved it into the storytelling. Hey, you know, the performance center is where I first made my mark in WWE. Mm. And we're coming full circle, Seth. I thought that was a really good bit of storytelling.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there was definitely positives on the shows. But overall, mm-hmm. I've had a hard time getting into them personally.
It was okay. And we should talk about the ratings.
Oh, AEW.
I mean, AEW just destroyed them. Yeah. I mean, drew a pretty good number. I think one of their better numbers. It was, 925 or something like that? And then NXT drew what I believe was its worst number ever.
Yeah, they were just over 500,000, I think. Like, AEW nearly doubled them up. Yeah, it was 932,000 to 542,000.
Yeah. And what's interesting is we had seen SmackDown numbers go up. We had seen the Raw numbers go up.
Because there's interest. I mean, they have a little bit of an advantage in that they're one of the only companies producing, you know, there's no sports leagues going on right now. So there's not a lot of new content out there. So,
I mean, do you think people kind of punted on NXT because there's no takeover?
I think, yeah. And when people realize it was just the highlight packages, regardless of how good they are and, you know, how well it played out, I think a lot of people decided, look what's going on in AEW. They have an actual live show happening and probably flipped over.
Yeah, you can just go back and watch that stuff anytime.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see if anything changes. Of course, like we said, WWE is reportedly filming several episodes of TV in the next few days. So I don't know if spoilers will leak out or not, but we'll have plenty to talk about in the weeks ahead. Last item for in the news before we get to the big topic.
What did you guys think of the debuts?
Oh, I thought
Brody and Matt Hardy.
Go ahead, Justin. You haven't talked in a while. I'll let you go.
I think Brody Lee's new look came from Wisconsin because holy shit, does that look cheesy? Hey-oh.
He looked like the white Power Ranger.
Yeah, it was not good. And then he took off that white robe and I don't know, boy, that's a huge downgrade from everything he's had at WWE. But other than that, I think they were both really well done. And kind of going back to what Kyle said, as awesome as that show was, I really do wish I could have seen that in front of a live crowd because I think they would have gone pretty wild.
Can you imagine when the live crowd noticed the drone?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, I thought, so Brody Lee, the big thing that I took note of is how amazing is it that this guy was never allowed to talk at WWE? Like, he rarely spoke, and I thought he had a great promo. Like his show, his talking was good, but this guy was never allowed to speak at WWE, and
even do a southern accent, pal.
There's so many instances of that over the years. Like, we always talk about Cody and what they had, they let him go. Oh man, sometimes these people leave and you see what they can do. It's mind-blowing. The biggest wrestling company in the world would drop the ball on something like that. But
I thought, you know, a key line, and a lot of people have talked about, obviously, was Lee saying to Christopher Daniels, "You're not the only out of touch old man who doesn't get me."
Yeah.
That was funny. Do you guys think his character here as the Exalted One is maybe dabbling a little too close to Bray Wyatt's initial character in WWE, like this cultish leader?
A little. I thought that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it crossed my mind. So it'll be interesting to see how they juxtapose that, or if they even try or whatever. So cult leaders is kind of, you know, something we've seen a lot before. So we shall see. I mean, the Dark Order is something that I am not high on still. So we'll see if he can get that over.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's kind of been unleashed.
And one other thing quick before I move on, what'd you guys think of that Lance Archer video of him fighting the guys in the ring in the yard or whatever?
God, you just keep reminding me of all the cool shit that happened on that show.
They apparently just filmed that like a few hours before the show too, from what I was reading. I thought that was freaking awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, imagine getting characters over with cool promos.
Again, different.
Yep.
You know, that it just felt different the way it was filmed, the way it was shot. It was great, I thought.
Yeah. So lastly in the news, the Broken Skull Sessions, we kind of talked about what our expectations were for it going into it on our last podcast. And then I watched it that night on Monday night. I don't know when you guys watched it. I know we've all seen it by now. And this is one of those shows, too, that I look forward to so much on the network. Austin is great in this role. They put it together well with the highlight packages when, you know, like when they were talking through the Survivor Series match and Mania 13, of course, and everything. I love that kind of thing, to see these guys reflecting on the little moments in the match. Like the part where Austin pointed out right after he began bleeding on the outside in the Mania match, how when he like swung his body back, the blood splattered on Jerry Lawler's hand. I've seen this match so many times that I've never noticed that. So the little things like that was really cool. Justin, you grew up a huge Bret Hart mark, just like I did. What were your thoughts watching this program?
I mean, I loved it. Those guys, you know, they, it's obvious they have a real affection and a lot of respect for each other, and especially that match they had at 13. And I mean, I could listen to those two talk about any match, even if they're in it or not. It would be, I do wish they would do a watch along for their Survivor Series match. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree.
Which Brett only called a 4-star match. Yeah. He shortchanged it. I love that match quite a bit.
Austin pointed out that he blew Brett up a little bit in the match. He had been off for a long time. And
that was a hoot. Yeah, that's
pretty funny. That was great.
I just think Brett, I said this on Monday. I think Brett is just, he's so honest about everything just across the board. And it's refreshing. I love to hear him talk about wrestling, not just because I'm a huge fan of his, you know, but just because I think he's just, he's honest. He has a great memory. I don't think that he's ever just making up shit when he talks about these old matches and moments, and like everything is right on base what he's talking about. So I loved it. Those are kind of the takeaways I had, just the little things from the matches. We talked about how he bashed Bill Goldberg a little bit at the end. And you can understand why he feels that way. They spent a ton of time on Montreal, which,
yeah,
you know, for guys like us, we know that whole story. They got to do it, though. You know, if he's going to be on a show, like, they have to. It took up quite a bit of time. I thought that was well done. It's just there wasn't really a lot new for me, but I think there's a lot of people watching it, especially the younger fans. They don't know the story that well, so it at least allowed Brett a chance with a big audience to kind of tell the true story, because we know the WWE story of Montreal is usually changed a little bit.
Yeah. My thoughts kind of mirror what you guys said. One, as far as Montreal goes, I was a little surprised how long they spent on that. You know, I wonder if when Austin led off for that question, if there was a bit of an eye roll from Brett. I would love to see the camera on him when he led off with that. But anyway, you're probably never going to see Vince McMahon, and to a lesser extent, Shawn Michaels, ripped like that on WWE production.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brett went after him pretty good. And, you know, deservingly so. You know, a lot of the stuff he said has been backed up by others. You know, Austin certainly kind of was seemingly taking his side as well. But it is a little, I don't know if jarring is the word, but I'll use it anyway, to hear Vince McMahon taking a task like that on a WWE production. I think that was one of my takeaways. Two, even though I've seen it probably just as many times as you guys have, they really made me want to watch WrestleMania 13 again.
Yeah. Did you?
I mean, they, no, I didn't actually. I went to bed after the interview was over, but man, you could really tell the affinity they had for that match and their work, and they should. It's the best WWF match of all time. And then three, Ryan, you were kind of just alluding to this a little bit. They really, relative to Brett's career, which is very long and has a lot of memorable moments, they hardly even scratched the surface. It was basically Montreal and then the Brett Austin rivalry. And then Brett got a few comments. They talked Owen a little bit. Brett got his shots in at Goldberg. That was basically it.
Yeah. And how surprising is it that aired, that they didn't cut that with Goldberg, one of their world champions, going into WrestleMania? I thought that and what you, when you talked about Brett taking Shawn and Vince to town, I thought it was very surprising what they allowed to air from this interview.
Yeah, I mean, Brett was like talking about, like, Shawn was all scared, was like crying in the corner when Brett knocked Vince out. I was like, "Woof, I'm Shawn Michaels. I didn't want that out."
Yeah. So it was a great watch, though. I mean, definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen it. I'm sure a lot of the listeners have already seen it, but if you haven't, I think it's a must watch, though. And it made me want to go back and watch Mania 13. I hadn't watched it in a couple of years, and so I did watch it, and I actually got the wife to watch it, who's usually very resistant to watching pro wrestling, but turned into a pretty fun night. I got her to watch Mania 13, and after that, she was kind of digging it, and she's like, "Okay, what are we watching next?" So then I put on Brett and Owen for Mania 10, and she's like, "I'll watch one more. Give me something like similar to that, athletic, not a super long match." So I put on Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio from Halloween Havoc, and she liked that one too. I think she said Brett and Owen was her favorite, though, but my wife never watches pro wrestling with me, so that was quite the night. And it was Mania 13 was the gateway, which I know for you, Justin, has been the gateway for your wife in the past to pro wrestling. So,
oh yeah,
that's the one I should have pulled out in the first place. I think the first time I ever showed her wrestling, was Macho and Steamboat. And she thought it was okay, but she didn't really get it. I think she got it more from Bret and Austin. So another thing you guys should check out, by the way, before we transition to our topic of the week, is the Two Jabronis with the Wrestling Podcast Show. They are on the Blue Wire Podcasting Network. I had a chance to guest on their show this week. That show just dropped today, actually, on Thursday. So Ben Cruz, the host of the show, he had me on. Jeremy, their other co-host, he couldn't make it this week, so I filled in. I was the co-host the entire broadcast. Thought it was a fun show. I think you guys would like it if you like Top Rope Nation. So give them a subscribe. Leave them a 5-star rating. They're part of the same broadcasting network that we are, Blue Wire. So it's the Two Jabronis with the Wrestling Podcast Show. And we're looking to do a lot more cross-promotion with the fellow wrestling podcasters on Blue Wire. There's only a few of us. I know Chris Van Vliet's on there. And we've had Chris Van Vliet on our show before. So we're hoping to maybe do some more collaboration with him again in the future. We shall see. So before we get to the topic of the week, guys, a little more housekeeping, and that is to talk about one of the sponsors of Top Rope Nation. That's our good friends over at Bet Online. So with currently no NBA, NHL, or college basketball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, Kyle knows. But you'd be wrong, because BetOnline still has hundreds of places to wager, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day, all online. And sports aren't totally done. There's still mixed martial arts, and esports is on the rise. If you're into entertainment, you can still bet on American Idol, the elections, the spelling bee, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Be sure to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your new ticket to online action. All right, guys, topic of the week. We're going Mount Rushmore again. This is usually the Justin Joint gimmick. So, Justin, do you want to introduce the Mount Rushmore topic we have for the listeners this week?
Well, just to give some people a little bit of funny background from today. I think this was brought up maybe a week ago, where I threw out a variety of possible topics. And this one was just WrestleMania Mount Rushmore tag matches. And we started texting a couple hours before the show. And some of us had taken that as just tag matches, and one of us as championship matches. So I think we might try and dabble a little bit on both, but I think it's mainly going to be the Mount Rushmore of tag team matches, which can be, triple threats, fatal four ways, eliminations, handicap, basically any version of a tag team match you want. It is not based solely on one thing, as in ring work or story or star power. It's kind of, I think you want a little bit of everything from this. It's what made the biggest impact on the wrestling industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Yeah, it was a little bit of a miscommunication. We weren't really sure. Are we doing just title matches for tag team matches, or just tag team matches in general? So I made two lists. I made a tag team title matches Mount Rushmore, and then just a general tag team Mount Rushmore.
Did you have any crossover?
I picked out four specifically that are not title matches, and then four that are title matches. How'd you do it, Kyle? You just included them all as one? I can do that. I can modify my list.
I can do both. Justin Joint, tell me what to do.
I'll tell you this much. My list is incomplete. Mine's unfinished. I don't feel good about a fourth and a third and fourth on each list.
Which one should we do first? I've got a lot dancing in my head right now.
Well, I feel like we should just do tag team.
Okay.
All right.
Without
you
titles.
Guys think otherwise.
Without titles.
Yeah, we'll do tag.
Oh wait. Okay. Well, I thought. Here we go again.
We're doing this live, pal. Here we go.
Yeah. I would like a version of just like the Mount Rushmore of tag team matches, period, whether it involves a championship or not.
Okay.
Okay.
I can do that.
Okay.
Yep. Right. We can do title matches too. I like I said, I can. Okay, I gotcha. I see what you're saying. You just a Mount Rushmore of tag team matches, title or not. Okay.
Yes, from
okay.
WrestleMania.
Okay, I can do that if we want to do it that way, and then I can mention the other ones I had. Because to be honest, when you get into the tag matches that didn't involve a title, you're really kind of scraping. It's tough.
There's two that I think.
Well, I have two for sure. Actually, two or three, and then to pick a fourth, I'm getting down into like the 3.5 star range matches. But I think I had a decent list going. But we can just talk just in general. So, titles or not, just in general, best tag team matches, Mount Rushmore, WrestleMania history. Let's do it that way, so we can throw out from either category.
Okay.
So who wants to go first?
I'm just gonna say, I've got for me. Three definites, one that would probably be in there, but I disqualify it because of one of the other matches. And then after that, there's just kind of a handful of, you know, okay to good matches. There's, you know, maybe one or two with, you know, historical significance. There's, you know, one really feel good, but I don't really know if there's a solid fourth one. So I'm very, very curious to hear your guys' takes on this. Can I give you my first no-brainer?
Yeah.
Sure.
WrestleMania 34, Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
That's absolutely on my list.
Yeah, I had that in my best tag matches not involving a title. So if I look to combine my two lists, it's definitely one to be considered.
Star rating perspective, just to give that, all Mania tag matches that have ever happened, okay, title or otherwise, it would be number two on my list.
You know, I'm going through I'm going through my two lists, and I'm bolding the ones that just overall, when I combine title matches and non-title tag matches, the four that would make it, and I'm not sure it makes it. I think it's my number five. It absolutely makes my best non-title tag team matches, for sure.
This is Angle and Ronda versus Triple H and Steph.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, that wouldn't make your just tag team Mount Rushmore?
Yeah.
No. That's number five. It would be the next one in.
For me. Do I need to remind you that you were there live? You felt it?
It was the best match on that show. Like, no doubt about it. It's
putting it by the Crazy Horse Memorial.
There's one on my list that is not as good as it in the ring, but I have to put it on the list.
All right. Well, I'm sure it's the same one that I'm looking at right now on my piece of paper.
WrestleMania 1.
Yes, that has to be on the list.
Yeah,
that
absolutely that's on mine too.
Look, say what you will about it in the ring. There is a very clear argument that is the most important match in the history of the promotion.
Yeah, I have that on my list for sure.
If WrestleMania had failed, who knows what we'd be talking about on this podcast today? You know, probably maybe the legacy of Bill Watts, but or how Joel Watts is booking WrestleMania 36. But yeah, I mean, it to me, that is a no-brainer when you open this up to all tag matches. And I just kind of look totally past the work rate requirement. It's not a bad match, but its importance cannot be overstated.
Yeah. So, yeah, Hogan, Mr. T, Piper, and Orndorff, WrestleMania 1. It's just so significant. I got to have that on my list. And then, yeah, Angle, Rousey, Triple H, Steph. There's one other match it could definitely take out. This other one kind of has some historical significance, too. You want me to just throw it out there right now? The one that it would maybe displace, and I probably waffle on this a little bit. Like, maybe I would put WrestleMania 34 in as the fourth spot. It's the Evolution versus Rock and Sock match from WrestleMania 20. Just because, you know, Rock was on his way out. Evolution was just such a cool group. You had Batista and Orton, you know, coming up. This is when they kind of were transforming into main eventers. I just feel like there's a lot of historical significance in that match. It's a 3-on-2 match. It's not as good in the ring as the WrestleMania 34 match. And maybe some of this is just because I just watched the episode where this was featured about Evolution on the recent Ruthless Aggression documentary series. But I think that's the one that I would take out and put Mania 34 in if it does make my top four. It's those two are pretty close for me. Did you guys consider that match at all?
Yeah, that is actually possibly my strongest candidate for my fourth spot. I guess part of me just wants to get another championship match in there because it's it's a freaking tag team. But I agree with you, man. Like, you know, part of that was, you know, the Attitude Era versus, you know, the Ruthless Aggression era, you know, in one match. So I agree with you. I'd be okay with putting that in my fourth spot at least, or having it be part of it.
Yeah.
Everyone in that match played their role to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Flair is the legend. Batista's the ass kicker. Orton is your ascendant star. Foley's the guy going for revenge. And Rock is, you know, the all-timer that he is.
So Kyle, I just want to catch up real quick. Ryan said that that is in his four, but that would also be the one that he would contemplate getting replaced with the WrestleMania 34 match.
Yeah. I thank you for that catch up. If I was doing a...
Kyle was disconnected, by the way. That's why we're catching him.
Yes, unbelievable. I mean, it's becoming that kind of week, folks. But if I was doing tag team matches that didn't involve title matches, that would be on the list. I did consider that. I'm surprised no one's mentioned this yet. This would be on title matches, all matches, everything. This is probably one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history. It has an argument top 10 is TLC.
Yeah,
number two at WrestleMania 17.
I have that on mine. There's two. I think that one in WrestleMania 2000 to me are the no brainers. Like those two are for sure on the list when you just consider tag matches in general.
That's what I was referring to at the beginning when I said one is in, but it also disqualifies the other one. I just don't feel right about putting both of those on the Mount Rushmore because, you know, they're both great matches and arguably, you know, the greatest tag team matches in WWE WrestleMania history. But I think Mount Rushmore needs a little diversity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I completely agree with what Justin said. And because I think the TLC match at 17 is actually demonstrably better than the tables and ladders match at 16, that's why I put it on my list.
I didn't really think of it that way, to be honest, but that makes sense. So if I'm thinking that way, yeah, my four just all together would then be TLC 2, Hogan and Mr. T against Piper and Orndorff, Evolution versus Rock and Sock, and then Angle and Rousey versus Hunter and Steph. That would be my four. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Same here.
Okay. I have a fourth left to give.
Okay.
It is also a tag team title match. So this will be, again, in addition to so I've got the same three as Ryan just mentioned, but not the Rock and Sock versus Evolution. This is what I would put in its place. Again, let's go way back in time. Dream Team versus British Bulldogs, WrestleMania 2.
I have that on my title matches, Mount Rushmore. That's on my four for best tag title matches. Yeah, that is a really good match. It's not obviously it's not like a high flying match. It's a great technical match. It's really good. If you haven't seen that in a long time, it's a 4+ star match.
Through modern eyes, again, will a younger fan not be wowed? Yeah, probably that's gonna be the case. But it is widely regarded as the first classic WrestleMania match.
Yes,
you know. The Bulldogs had chased the Dream Team for so long and, you know, cool finish. I like that match quite a bit.
Yeah. So when I thought we were doing two lists, just best tag matches, not involving a title, and then best tag title matches, like I said, that was in my best tag title matches. To me,
what was Justin's fourth?
That was one I didn't feel good about, but my kind of the leader was the WrestleMania 20 Rock and Sock versus Evolution.
Okay, gotcha.
So, if you want to send me a $20 bill, I'll be convinced of WrestleMania 2.
So I felt pretty good about my best four tag title matches. That one I was set on. I was a little less confident in my non-title tag match four, but Yeah, my four for best tag title matches, Mount Rushmore, were Bulldogs against the Dream Team, WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 2000, the Triangle ladder match, TLC 2 from X7, and Hart Foundation Nasty Boys, WrestleMania 7. Those four.
Mm.
That's the four best involving a tag title to me. Thoughts before I give you the others?
I'm okay with your first three. I would probably replace the Hart Foundation and Nasty Boys with actually probably the tag team match from WrestleMania 35, the four-way.
Yeah, I thought about that one too. Like, it's a pretty good match, but I don't know.
What match was that?
Sorry, go ahead, Justin.
That was the Usos versus Aleister Black and Ricochet versus Rusev and Shinsuke versus The Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a good match. It just doesn't have the historical significance. It's a really good match.
I will say, like, I think its historical significance is just those performers are all just, I mean, kind of cogs of the last, you know, 6-7 years. And, you know, for one, you have the Usos, who have been a staple of tag team wrestling in WWE for a long time, and The Bar, possibly the most underrated tag team in WWE history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of tough to get to that fourth spot. My first three, again, were like dead set. Mania 2, 2000, and X7. And then for me, you know, growing up a Hart Foundation fan, I kind of see that match as like the Hart Foundation, the last stand. You know, it's like this. Yeah, it is. But it's that transition. And Brett goes single right after that. He'd already kind of dabbled in singles matches. But it's not like a great, great match, but it's pretty good.
And it's not bad.
Yeah, it's like about a 3.5-star match. And historically, it's very significant. So that's why I put it in there. But
While it led to Bret Hart's single career, a young Justin Joint was brokenhearted from the outcome of that match. So I can't put it on the Mount Rushmore.
It felt like the Nasty Boys only got the belts because of how they were signed, because WCW was like really stupid and didn't have them under a long-term deal. And they had that great match with the Steiners, and Vince swooped in and just took them. And I think in order to justify him swooping in and taking them, he put the tag titles on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
I always liked Power and Glory during that era. I thought they got a raw deal.
Yeah.
So I have two different matches, by the way, that have not been brought up.
For tag title? Tag
team. Okay. Yep. No. So I took the theory to heart that Justin and I espoused with the TLC matches for not wanting to put them both on the Mount Rushmore. I stuck to it for the tag titles too. So I'm only going with I'm only going with the WrestleMania 17 version, Bulldogs Dream Team. We talked about those. Here are my other two. Ironically, I'm going to put another ladder match on the list. I was at this one live, WrestleMania 33. Kind of seems timely to bring this one up now because it's when the Hardys returned to the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
What a pop they had. People were really wanting that. They got it. The Hardys win the belts in a ladder match against Gallows and Anderson, The Bar, and Enzo and Cass.
I had thought about that one, but I immediately knocked it off because of that.
Okay. And then here's a match I'm interested to see. You guys may poo-poo this one, but I don't really give a damn. WrestleMania 14, New Age Outlaws against Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie in the dumpster match. Say what you will about them in the ring, there are very few teams that ever were as over in WWE as the New Age Outlaws. And they weren't quite there yet at this point. But I kind of struggled too with the tag title. One more so. And I don't know. I just felt like this needed just for to have a wider representation of my Mount Rushmore. This one, I wanted to bring it in.
You know, I like that. I like that inclusion in there. I don't know how, but I completely missed that match. I completely forgot about it, but I think I'd include that in my top four.
The tag titles were pretty high up the ladder on that card You know, they were pretty, that was a featured match, which you can't say often about the tag team titles at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I considered it, and if I take out one of the two from 2000 and X7, maybe it makes it the list. But since I put both of them in, I didn't really see that mm-hmm. making the top four. I just feel like, kind of like you said, they weren't there yet. Obviously, Foley was a big star at that point, but and Terry Funk being who he is. But it's just, it's kind of, that one's kind of premature. Like, if I compare that to Heart Foundation Nasty Boys, I don't think it outranks that one for me, but I can definitely see the argument. And yeah, it may make my list if I took one of those 2000 or 2000. Well, it'd be the 2000 triangle ladder match I would take out. Then it would have a chance.
I love the angle when the Outlaws dump them off the ramp mm-hmm. on Raw. And Jim Ross starts yelling, "What the hell's so cool about that?"
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah.
My four for the then non-title tag matches, talked about three of them already. That was the Evolution Rock and Sock from Mania 20, Angle and Rousey against Triple H and Steph from 34, Mania 1, Hogan, Mr. T, Piper, and Orndorff. And then I had two I was considering for the fourth spot. I ended up going with the Rockers against the Heenan family, Barbarian and Haku from Mania 7.
I like that match.
Yeah, it's a good match. It's not that long, but matches don't have to be long, as we often say on this yeah. program. So I considered that, and then I was also considering the six-man from Mania 3 with Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation against the Bulldogs and Tito Santana, which it's also not a very long match, but it's cool to see the Hart Foundation, the Bulldogs, in the ring together at such an iconic WrestleMania. But I do think the Rockers Heenan family match is better, so I went with that one.
You know, it's funny, the WWE in the current John Cena Fiend storyline is trying to do an interesting bit of retconning where Wyatt blames all of his past failures on that Mania 30 match, which actually, if you wanted to investigate Bray Wyatt's run, it actually doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But because that feud continued, and he actually beat him at the next one in an atrocious cage match that should never be talked about again by anybody. But I bring that up because I think one of the best bits of retconning the WWE ever did was inserting Tito into that deal as the third babyface for the six-man opposite Davis and the Hearts, noticing that Danny Davis, and he was not doing the heel ref gimmick at this point, was the referee when Randy Savage beat Tito Santana for the Intercontinental title, and he cheated to beat him. I thought that was a really sharp move.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's in contention for the non-title tag matches. So yeah. What did you make a non-title tag list then, 1 through 4, Kyle?
Yeah, the only other one that has not been discussed, so I would have on this list the WrestleMania 1 main event, Angle and Ronda, the Rock and Sock vs. Evolution, and I would go JYD and Tito Santana against the Funk Brothers. A fun brawl from WrestleMania 2. Terry Funk just works his ass off in this match. This also may have been the last instance of JYD trying in the professional wrestling, so that's also of historical significance.
That's a really solid pick. Honestly, I haven't seen the match in such a long time. I need to rewatch it probably.
It is right there for match of the night against Bulldog's Dream Team. Like, in terms of star ratings, you know, these are old ratings. I haven't watched that show in a while either, but I always gave Bulldog's Dream Team 4 stars and then that one 3 3/4.
Yeah.
So it's right there.
Nice. Anything else to add, Mr. Joint?
I'd say my top three are the same as your guys's. my number four would probably be, I think, the shortest match we've talked about by far. And that'd be the Shield versus Kane in the New Age Outlaws, which at WrestleMania 30 was exactly what it needed to be. And
it was.
You know, just a fun, quick match with important players in the wrestling game.
Yeah.
You know what's another good Rockers match? You mentioned the Pacu Barbarian one, Ryan. Is the match with the Twin Towers at WrestleMania 5. That is a fun big team versus little team match.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good selling from the Rockers.
Shawn Michaels' first WrestleMania appearance, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a question real quick. What is your guys' favorite WrestleMania tag team match that involved an engagement that didn't even last to the next WrestleMania?
Oh, God.
You know, it's really funny. I loved that WrestleMania, like right after it happened. I think I texted you, Ryan. I'm like, this was a really damn good WrestleMania. And for those not following along, this is WrestleMania 33, and Justin's joking about John Cena and Nikki Bella. But man, when you look back at it, not a lot stuck. So, like, you had that engagement meaning nothing. You had The Undertaker faking a retirement and not doing it. The Hardys, okay, they returned, but I don't know. I mean, that kind of seems like, oh, yeah, when the Hardys came back. And then it's kind of like, well, what did they do after?
Yeah.
You know, they were kind of over, but you don't really remember anything. And, yeah, not a lot sticks from that WrestleMania.
You mean Brock defeating your boy Goldberg doesn't stick
with
you?
That was a good match. That's a good match. You talk about good short matches, that may be the best sub-5-minute match in company history.
Yeah, it's true. I'm looking at the card up and down here now, and you can check out our archives when we talked about it at the time on this program. But yeah, a lot of it has not had a long-term impact, that's for sure. Justin, I think next week, because it's such a crazy time in the wrestling world, we're probably going to do another Mount Rushmore. Do you want to explain to the listeners what it's going to be so they can anticipate this for next Friday?
Actually, you know what? I think this one is kind of Kyle's baby, so I think he should explain.
Okay, no. Well, Justin, you know, Justin came up with the Mount Rushmore gimmick, and we've been going back and forth about all this stuff. And I think I mentioned this last week on the show as an idea, and I started actually thinking about it after the show, and I kind of came up with my list. Worst WrestleMania builds in history. Obviously, this is kind of timely. We have not been too kind to the build for WrestleMania 36. So coming up with our four worst WrestleMania builds. And again, it's subjective. Just, you know, if you could justify it, chisel it on up there.
So you guys can shoot us your thoughts on that in advance. And when we're discussing it on the show, we can bring it into the conversation. So if you have a lot to say, email us, topropenation@gmail.com. You can tweet us. We're at topropenation. You can post on Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page, Instagram, pretty much all the social media feeds you'll find Top Rope Nation. So if you have a thought on the worst WrestleMania builds, let us know. We'll bring it into conversation next week on the show. And Kyle, with that said, you got four big matches picked out. Everyone's looking for entertainment right now. They want to use that WWE Network subscription. They want to use YouTube. So it is definitely time.
I was going to say, if you only have the WWE, you're going to have to look beyond the WWE Network for this one, because I don't think any of these matches are on it. As a matter of fact, we know two of them aren't.
Yes.
I'm positive all four of these are not on it.
Yeah, so it is time for the Kyle Ross I Love This Sport deep dive of the week. Take it away.
Well, you know, it's been a trying week for everyone, and by God, why would you not fill it up by watching lots of professional wrestling and, you know, semi looking at your daughter and counting that as taking care of her. But enough about me. Let's talk pro wrestling. I've watched all of these matches this week, and I think you should watch them too. Tito Santana, Greg Valentine, June 16th, 1984, from Madison Square Garden. This was on the undercard of the Sergeant Slaughter Iron Sheik boot camp match, which is probably one of the best WWF matches of the 80s. So if you haven't seen that, you should probably watch that one too. This was a molten crowd. I looked up to see how many people were there. I think this is one of the best drawing shows in the history of MSG, as they did 26,000 plus in the building proper, plus they sold out the Felt Forum next door. That is a lot of people.
Yeah.
1980, if you look at some of the numbers they were doing, 1984 into 1985 into that first WrestleMania. My God, do you know they ran WrestleMania? They ran the Garden 2 weeks before WrestleMania.
That's insane. Absolutely insane.
Both shows did like 20,000 people. Jeez. I mean, the World Wrestling Federation. Vince, what has happened? You used to, Vince, what has happened? But anyway, so Tito and Greg Valentine, these guys worked a lot in this era at MSG. They actually did not work at the first WrestleMania, probably because they worked so much and they wanted to keep the feud going. But that's something you should look at. You know, how about another Greg Valentine match? Ron Garvin, 9/30/89, also at the Garden. Ron Garvin was not a great babyface, quite frankly, for the WWF, but this match was great. And these guys always delivered in the ring, even though I don't think the TV feud worked too well. Number three got a lot of good feedback a couple weeks ago when we talked about the greatest tag match ever. We went into the realm of All Japan. People can look in the archives for that recommendation. So I thought to myself, hey, you know, got some positive feedback on that. Why not recommend what I think is the best six-man tag in the history of pro wrestling? And it is also from All Japan. April 20th, 1991, 420. Why not get in the spirit when you throw this one on? It goes about 50 minutes, folks. Misawa, Kawada, and Kobashi against Jumbo Tsuruta, Tawe, and Fuchi. Oh, my God, is this just a delight. And then something that was recommended to me just this morning, or I saw it wasn't recommended directly to me, but was recommended on Twitter, and I checked it out. Pac against Brody Lee, Dragon Gate USA, November 21st, 2011.
Very nice. Gives me something to do in the next couple of days, that's for sure.
Let's go a lot of variety. I mean, I guess we got two Greg Valentine matches in there. But if you don't want to watch two Greg Valentine matches, watch the Slaughter Sheik match that's on the same show as Tito and Valentine. Because it is... If you think the words xenophobic and best can exist within the same sentence, then Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik is for you. Because it is the WWE at its xenophobic best of the 1980s. Just a complete bloodbath where they totally ham up the US-Iran bit. So yes. It's very good.
Yeah. Very nice. Always enjoy the recommendations. I know the listeners do as well. So yeah, watch these four. Let us know what you think. Same contact info I went through a little bit ago. The emails are best, though, because we'd love to get your full-length thoughts on this show, topropenation@gmail.com. So, guys, we packed quite a bit into this show in a good amount of time. I thought I was kind of worried looking at our agenda. This might go like 2+ hours, but I think we got in everything we wanted to. Anything we didn't get to you want to throw out there?
Justice for Little Beaver at WrestleMania 3.
Justin sent us a picture that he was watching that match. Yeah. Hashtag research before it went live. Yes.
Which reminded me of one of my favorite comments in WrestleMania history. Bob Uecker during that match saying, "There's a whole lot of beaver all over this place. That is incredible." And Jesse Ventura trying to stop from laughing is absolutely worth a listen for you folks. He kind of chuckles, and then you can tell he like takes it off mic because there's this awkward silence after he makes the joke, and you can kind of hear like this laughing, but not on the mic, through the mic. Great line by Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker is such a mainstay on those early Manias.
I thought his comedy bits at WrestleMania 4 were the highlight of that show.
Yeah. He was good. He was really good in that role.
Hi again, everybody. You know, this thing is really getting kind of serious now. I haven't been able to locate Vanna White, and I was supposed to... Hi, Andre.
Don't
hey, my good buddy.
Vanna, you get me. You get the giant, the only professional wrestler who's still undefeated. And Hulk Hogan, I'm proud to be it, because now Ted DiBiase is on his way up. That's what he paid me for, to keep you out of the tournament, Hogan. And you are. And I know one thing, and that's what the people are going to know too, and that's what they're going to remember. You are the ex-champion, Hogan.
Well, there you have it. I still haven't found
Vanna White. He is the ex-champion. Don't worry about Vanna White. Now, Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania is over.
Hey, how about getting your foot off my shoulder?
There's no help, okay? Hey!
I guess with that said, if you're looking for more content from us, like I said, we're going to be putting out Top Rope Nation classics, looking at some classic Memphis wrestling at the urging of our patron Derek Chappelle. That's coming in the next couple of days. Otherwise, we'll be back next Friday, as we always are, with a new episode. I do want to thank the patrons of the show for their support. These are the hardest of the hardcores in the Top Rope Nation. Thanks to Derek, Gabe, Jake, Kyle, Tim, Liam, Ryan, Sean, and Greg. Greatly appreciate your support. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the pre-show we put up for you this week before we went live with episode 133. That's something that we will continue in the weeks ahead. And of course, those exclusive Top Rope Nation classics, full-length episodes coming at you at least once a month. So with that said, I'm Ryan Droste. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan Droste. That's Droste. Kyle, you can find him at TRP Kyle, and Justin at Justin Joint, Joynt. And we will catch you guys next week. Enjoy those recommendations from Kyle and use that WWE Network subscription. See you guys next time.
Peace.